That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to Talk About It Friday. I've got a really special guest on the show today called Jonathan Whitelaw. Hey, what's up, Jonathan?
Hello. Thank you very much for having me, Wayne. Much appreciated.
That's all right. I'm honoured. So, tell us a bit about you.
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. I was never going to get these really hard questions to kick off with. I thought this was going to be nice and relaxed anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the kind of best way to describe myself is that I'm an author and a journalist based in Glasgow. My second novel, Hellcorp, it came out last July.
Yeah.
From day to day, I tend to work in kind of digital journalism for kind of various places. I'm technically freelance, so I do a lot of everything and anything really when it comes to kind of writing. My passion obviously is sort of fiction writing.
Yeah.
But in terms of kind of work, you know, it can be breaking news, but politics, sport, fashion, travel, food, you know, movies, the arts, you name it, I'll shove it in front of me and I'll do it. Unfortunately, that's the name of the game. I love doing it. I love doing the journalism, and obviously I love writing as well. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Wow, that's incredible. So you've got three things that you're doing.
Yeah.
How are you juggling that?
Oh, well, that's it. It depends who you ask. I think, you know, if you ask my wife how well I'm juggling it, you know, she'll probably give you a different answer than what I would say. It's tough going. It's hard going. We live in a of the kind of professions that I work in. We the 21st century's both been very, very good and quite cruel for it.
Yeah.
Or to them, rather. You know, from a journalism point of view, you know, you're kind of moving between you're moving between sort of traditional print journalism and towards digital journalism, which is more my field.
Yeah.
It's really kind of feel that you're at that sort of or I'm at that sort of crossroads between the two points. You know, in 10 years, you know, the kind of elements of print journalism, certainly kind of tabloid and broadsheet newspapers, won't be recognisable just as they were kind of 10, 15, 20, 30 odd years ago and longer.
Wow.
And in terms of being an author, in terms of kind of being a fiction writer, again, you know, we live in the sort of information age and that affords its own luxuries, but also its own sort of limits and things. I find the time because I try and make the time. You know, usually what you find is I can work sort of 5-6 shifts a week as a journalist, and then I'll be writing every night. I'm lucky in that, you know, kind of, you know, flippantly talking about my wife and that, you know, how she thinks I balance it. I think, you know, she's very, very supportive of all the work that I do, and I'm kind of hugely grateful for that. And it's the same with like, you know, the kind of team that I work with.
Yeah,
from journalism point of view, they're you know, a great team to work with.
Yeah, I'd say it's a skill in itself, isn't it? Really?
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, kind of time management. Yeah, I think. Yeah, absolutely. I was chatting to a friend of mine, a journalist friend of mine, yesterday actually, and she's kind of wanting to do a lot more writing, a lot more fiction writing, and that was it. That, you know, she asked the same thing as you. She said, "How do you find the time for it?" And yeah, you're absolutely right. It's as much a part of the challenge of being a writer is being able to kind of juggle everything else that goes along with it. You know, I'm not sitting here as if I've got all the answers, far from it. What I do, you know, the next person might find, you know, abhorrent or might love it. It's just what works for you, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing that you just brought up about fiction writing is that you, as a journalist, you write like headlines, like stories, like,
yep,
real life things that are happening,
yep,
in life. How do you feel about going from writing real things to writing fiction?
Well, it's interesting actually, because it's something that I never ever really thought about. But see, since Hellcorp came out in July, you know, I've obviously kind of been talking about that, and And you know, when you get interviewed as a one of the kind of strange adjustments that I found being a writer is being on the other side of an interview. You know, it's been easy for me to kind of sit and ask the questions and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, you're doing a fantastic job, Wayne. I should point that out right now.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Flattery gets you everywhere in this
industry. Absolutely.
But, one of the things that I've kind of had to adjust to is being on the other side of it. It's being on the other side of that fence, and you know, when you're sitting kind of doing, you know, I mentioned obviously that there's a whole, you know, I don't specialise in any one specific element of journalism because I work online, and the nature of online journalism it changes from minute to minute usually. So
yeah,
and it's a needs must type thing. And what one thing that I've kind of reflected on over the last sort of 6 months, particularly since Hailcourt came out, is that, you know, actually I quite enjoy it because yeah, you're doing so many different things and you're learning about so many different elements of society and what's going on in current affairs and historic things and things like that. You know, it actually helps me as a writer, as a fiction writer.
Wow.
Because you know, you never know when the next inspiration is gonna come or where it's gonna come from, and you know, being at the sort of coalface of that, being at the front line of it, you get to see an awful lot, and not all of it's good. You know, don't get me wrong. Some of it's really, really hard, and some of it, you know, you take home with you, and you kind of think to yourself, how does the world keep spinning when this type of stuff's going on all the time on a daily basis. But then again, you know,
yeah,
conversely, you'll get some really, really great stuff, and it's an adjustment, and it's a privilege. It's an honor to be a journalist. It's an honor to be a fiction writer as well. And
wow,
being part of those kind of industries is something very, very special.
Wow, absolutely. So, what would you say? You know, being a journalist, is it just online based, or do you actually go out to scenes and stuff?
Well, historically, it's. More recently, I've been mostly kind of in the office. The nature of kind of online journalism is, as I said, is it kind of moves. It moves so quickly and it moves so fast. You know, a lot of it is dependent on, you know, depending on what type of story it is. You know, if it's a big court case or something, you know, if you're working for a newspaper, more often than not, the print side of things will have a journalist either at the court, or there will be like a team of journalists there who then send copy in. And as an online journalist, it's up to you to sort of, you know, dress that into the house style and kind of get up on the website as quickly as possible before all your rivals, you know.
Wow.
Then again, you get kind of stories that will maybe be sort of online based, you know, so if there's a viral video, or if there's a, you know, if somebody's tweeted something or someone's made a comment or yeah, exactly that, a sort of viral video, you know, that's a case of being from the journalist point of view. You know, you've got to kind of reach out. You'll maybe get to the bottom of where the story came from, or you know, you speak to someone that's in the video, and that can range. You know, that can range from things like, you know, sort of police incidents or ongoing incidents to you know, kind of funny cat videos playing the piano. You know, it really, really does range. It's
wow.
It's a great job to have And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's other elements to it as well. Obviously, there's kind of more practical elements of being a digital journalist, is that, you know, you, more often than not, you have to actually build the story. So again, kind of going back to what we're talking about with writing and things like that, the two of them are actually quite similar.
Yeah, I wish my cat played the piano.
Why?
That'd be so cool.
I think there's an awful lot of cat playing piano that play piano better than I do. That's for sure. It would be hard, but yeah.
It's amazing though. You know, I've seen some videos of cats doing some really cool things. It's like, why are my cats so boring?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm sure they're special in their own way, Wayne. I'm
yeah,
sure they are.
I know.
I don't even have a cat, so there you go. You're at least a half star.
Oh, that's incredible. So would you say your line of work, you know, as a journalist, would you say that's stressful? Would you say that's pretty laid back? From what you told me, it sounds stressful.
Okay, it can change. There are times where it can be very, very stressful, but it depends. That's the great thing about, from a journalist point of view, you know, the great thing about it is you get so many different people from so many different backgrounds, and what one person finds stressful, the other one might find okay. So, you know, because I have, like, you know, I had a political background when I left university.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind and take a keen interest in politics and all the rest of it. So any sort of stories that come across our desk that are kind of more politically hued, I usually kind of go on them and quite enjoy them. Whereas, you know, there's kind of colleagues that I've had in the past who have maybe kind of shied away from it a little bit because they don't follow it so intimately. And then, you know, conversely, there are stories about, you know, numerous subjects that kind of bring me out in a cold sweat that I, you know, just because my kind of knowledge base isn't as vast as someone else's.
Wow.
So it can be stressful. It is stressful. So it's the same with the writing as well. It's the same with the fiction writing too. You know, it's a different type of stress, different type of pressure, but you know, there's always and I've noticed the more that, you know, now that I've got kind of two books out and I've noticed that as an audience is growing, there are sort of certain expectations of you as a writer that you feel that you've got to meet. Sometimes it might just be, you know, an expectation that you put on yourself as a writer.
Yeah.
But they're still there, and you've still got to, you kind of feel the need to meet them. It's good though. It's good for me. It's good. I enjoy it. I feel that I do my kind of best work when, not necessarily when I'm under pressure, but when if I feel that I'm you know, kind of, on the limit of it, and I'm up against it, then what I'm doing, I feel is worthwhile. It's clearly worthwhile, and that sort of makes you better at what you do. You know,
absolutely. Do you know, as you know, you say that you work in politics, and that doesn't that like scare you?
Oh yes, oh absolutely terrifying. Well, that was the thing about it. Like, you know, when I take a massive, a keen interest in it, but When I first moved into politics, it was when I was at university and it was very, very much a you know, kind of green behind the ears, wet behind the ears even, in everything really.
Yeah.
You know, and the kind of the opportunities that I was afforded when I was there were real kind of eye opening stuff, and it was a fantastic place. I worked in the Scottish Parliament. It was a fantastic place to learn again, some fantastic people, really, really interesting people.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a long time ago now. You know, you're talking about sort of 9-10 years ago. So the whole kind of political landscape across the world is so much more different now. I'm grateful of my time that I got to serve in politics. You only have to look at newspapers and Twitter and all the rest of it to see what's going on in the world, and it terrifies, you know, it terrifies us as journalists, terrifies us as members of the public. So goodness knows what it's like actually being in the political sphere, as it were.
Oh God, no. So moving on from that, so what I really want to talk about is your fiction book. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly, absolutely, yeah. Kind of mentioned there that Hellcorp, it came out in July last year, so it's been out about 6 months.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of everything, actually. It's got a little bit of everything in it. It's a sort of kind of crime thriller novel with kind of hints of urban fantasy, a little bit of sci-fi in there, and even a kind of touch of romance. Essentially, what it's about is the devil wants to go on holiday. He's kind of sick of being the cosmic bad guy.
Yeah.
So he sets up a company, the sort of eponymous Hellcorp, to do his job for him while he goes and gets his kind of, you know, sand between his toes. But God thinks he might be trying to pull a fast one. So he challenges him to solve a murder mystery, a crime. It's a man, a businessman who took 40 years to die, essentially.
Wow.
So he's kind of put on Earth, the devil's put on Earth, stripped of all his powers and his abilities. He's made sort of mortal. He meets up with a more than capable human companion in Dr. Jill Gideon, who's more than a match for him, and the kind of two go off on this sort of adventure where they try and find out who murdered the poor sod that was stabbed 40-odd years ago in order for him to get his holiday. So it's, yeah, a little bit of everything. That's
wow.
One of the great things that I've kind of found since it came out is that I seem to be giving kind of bookshops headaches as to where to put this, what shelf to put on. You know, it's either in fiction, I've seen it in horror, I've seen it in crime, I've seen it in sci-fi. It's been fantastic, and I've had some fantastic feedback, you know, kind of critical and from readers and stuff like that, and it's been really, really special to see. It's been really special to see it kind of released into the world and kind of all the characters and things like that I spent so long with, and to see them now kind of doing their thing.
Wow, that's incredible! What inspired you to write that?
Well, it's one of these things that, you know, I've been writing since I was 17, so I'm 32 now. I've been kind of writing fiction since I was 17, and I've always loved sci-fi and I've always loved fantasy. But to be honest, I'll read anything. You know, it's, again, part of the job, part of who I've become sort of personality-wise, I'm happy to read anything. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed crime fiction. I've always enjoyed kind of crime and detective drama and stuff like that, TV, film, theatre, that type of thing. I never ever thought I was going to be clever enough to be able to write something like that, because there are so many great writers doing so many great things.
Absolutely.
In that genre, you know, and everybody's got their favourite, and you know, I'm a realist. Again, comes with having worked in politics and being a journalist, is that you kind of become very, very quickly jaded with your own abilities and stuff. But one of the things that really it wasn't that I was getting bored of it, but you know, we've seen so many anti-heroes now, particularly in detective fiction, particularly in crime fiction. You know, if you've got a hero that's not an alcoholic, then they're a workaholic. If they're not estranged from their family, you know, they spend too much time at work. And I always said to myself, you know, when I kind of started writing seriously, I always said if I was going to do a detective novel, I wanted the anti-hero to be the ultimate anti-hero. And that kind of got me thinking. And I thought, well, who's the ultimate anti-hero? Who's the ultimate person or creature that could never, you know, that's totally unredeemable, you know, pure evil, distilled evil? What would happen if you put something or someone like that into a situation where they had to jump through hoops and do something good? And really, it started from there, and that was it. The sort of central character of the devil was the very beginning of it, and then I just kind of dressed everything around there. And actually, that was the as a writer, I think, you know, a lot of kind of writers try and, you always get, I've seen this a lot on the, kind of read a lot of interviews and kind of criticisms and stuff like that of writing, and like passion is a word that a lot of people use, a lot of writers use when it comes to kind of what they work on. And that was something that I had pretty much from the off when I was writing Hellcore with the characters and you know, from that central starting point, you know, I was very, very passionate about it. And then every element, every kind of layer of the sort of literary onion that I added onto it, it grew more and more passionate and great to be passionate about. And yeah, like I said, I've got a fantastic team, a fantastic publisher in Urbane who have been so, so supportive of it. I can't, really, really cannot fault them and thank them enough for giving me that sort of opportunity to have this as a, you know, on the bookshelves and let people enjoy it, hopefully.
Absolutely. That's amazing. What format is your book in? Is it in paperback, Kindle, or Audible?
Yeah, it's on all formats. Yep, it's in paperback. You can get it. It's ebook as well. Available in all good bookshops and even the kind of not so good ones as well. I'm not naming names, obviously, but it's on Amazon too and stuff like that. So yeah, it's everywhere. It was out in July, so we're kind of, you know, just had the kind of first 6 months and we've got another kind of blog tour coming up as well, I think at the tail end, or I think at middle of this month, and then the tail end of this month. And it's been fantastic to kind of see the responses and the praise for it, and seeing, you know, seeing what kind of readers read into it. You know, that's been some of the great, some writing is often described as being quite a lonely business. It's quite an isolated thing to do,
absolutely,
you know. And when you put kind of work out there and you get work out there, you kind of see people that are taking the time and effort, and, you know, very grateful. I'm very grateful for it, and being able to read into what you've written and what, you know, all that time spent alone with these types of characters and settings and stuff like that, and to see them read something and get enjoyment out of it, really, again, kind of going back to what I'm talking about, it being a real privilege to be able to do that is very, very special. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yep.
Well, brilliant. So what advice would you give to those that want to, you know, be a journalist? What would you give? What advice would you give?
Well, I think, I mean, I suppose it depends. It depends on where you are in your career and what you've got available to you. There's, you know, there's a whole host of fantastic writing courses and journalism courses in universities and colleges up and down the country that are kind of, you know, that offer these types of kind of qualifications and stuff like that. I think there's also, I mean, the great thing about journalism is it's all about the story. It's all about what the story is and finding your audience for it. And yeah. So, you know, again, education is a big. I'm huge in education. You know, I'm a great advocate for people educating themselves and bettering themselves and learning more and more and more and more. And something about journalism is that, you know, anything can be a story. That's the great thing about it. If you've got a passion about something and you want to write about it and you feel that more people should know about it or might want to know about it, chances are you'll be able to find somewhere out there, whether it's in print media, whether it's in digital media. It's just about educating yourself really in what's available out there and what's what they want. And one thing I would always say about, particularly in terms of kind of journalism and stuff, is that you should always be open really to new ideas and learning, you know, because it as a profession, it's quite a, it's very, very competitive. It can be very competitive. And a lot of people, I think, get quite surprised, particularly when they come out of university and they go into newsrooms and things and you know, suddenly they're criticised for not doing something right.
Exactly. And, you need that ammo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely that way. You know, you've got to take it on the chin and you've got to learn from it. More importantly, you've got to learn from it. It's very much one of these industries that, you know, you learn all the time. You never ever stop learning when you're a journalist. And that, you know, that it doesn't matter if you're at college, you're at school or whatever, or you're just ready to retire. You know, I've spoken to journalists again. Some of them at the end of their careers, some of them at the start of them, and they both, you know, they say the same thing, and I include myself in that. They say the same thing, you know. It's, you always learn something new in the job, and that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's probably my best advice. It's just always be open to learning and just educate yourself in what it is and what the expectations are as a journalist, and then go out and find the story. And that's
wow.
It. Just that easy.
Yeah, exactly. That's impressive. Yeah. You know, anyway, I'd really appreciate this opportunity to interview you, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Not at all. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Much appreciated.
That's absolutely fine. And what I'll do after the show is I'll touch base with you and talk more.
That'd be great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely delighted. And I think I've said this before. It's, you know, it's a fantastic podcast. It's a fantastic show. And kind of great guests, of which I'm honoured to be now a member of. And would highly recommend it to everybody out there to give it a listen.
Absolutely. Thank you ever so much.
Not at all.
Well, brilliant. You take care of yourself, and I'll be straight in contact with you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
That's all right. Thank you ever so much, man.
Bye. See you later.
See you later, mate. Bye.
We are on air. Super Friday.